and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Blob That Ate Everyone by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. As you may have noticed, the last episode, I was a little drunk, so I don't understand what's going on in this. I think I talked about it then, but I came back from a Chargers game after pre-gaming, then drinking the whole time, then drinking after, and then I was like, oh, fuck, my buddy's gone, I gotta record. Anyway, so I don't know what's happening aside from the fact that I know there's a book that if you write things in it, it comes true. It's kind of like, an autobiography. But, you know, there's like a time shift. Anyway, my fiance is out of town in Salem, or heading to Salem, Massachusetts right now to do some witchy-ass shit. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna get some dude time to myself and get my dude on. And then she leaves, and I'm like, fuck, where is she? So, that kind of sucks. I just kind of miss her already, and she's been gone a couple hours. Anyway, I am drinking a Steel Reserve. However, it's almost gone, and this is the first beer I've had at home in weeks. I'm back on that bullshit. Anything else? I don't know. I'm at Dune on Twitter, at Dune underscore M on Instagram, facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com for email. Yeah, I caught that one. Oh, I didn't see the Goosebumps movie yet. That's huge fucking news. It came out, and I was like, I'm going to go, I'm going to post a thing on Facebook and Twitter and be like, everyone in San Diego, come get drinks with me, and then we'll all go at midnight. And then that day came and went, and I was like, nope. So I still haven't seen it. I don't know when I will. It's not that I don't want to. It's just, I don't know. I'm fucking busy. That being said, chapter 17. The wind howled outside the house, rattling the window pane. I set my candles down, one on each side of the old typewriter. I leaned forward and read the story so far. Alex was right. Everything I had typed had come true. Dear diary, I'm a big loser and no one likes me. It's true. But her idea was totally dumb. Type, she ordered, standing behind me, her hands on my shoulders. I glanced back at her. Alex, haven't you ever heard of coincidence? Oh, big word, she replied sarcastically. Isn't sarcastically just as long, if not longer, than coincidence? It's not like that's a tricky word, and it's not like there's a lot of synonyms that are applicable instead of coincidence, right? R.L. Stine, what are you talking about? Are you sure you're ready for such a big word? I ignored her, like you should with a lot of people. A coincidence is when two things happen by accident. Alanis Morissette has a song about them that she titled poorly. I explained, for example, I type that it's stormy out, and then it starts a storm. That's called a coincidence. She shoved me toward the typewriter. Prove it, she insisted. Go ahead, Zacky. Type the next sentence, and let's see if it comes true. I just got the feeling of deja vu, or I guess just remembering, when it said Zacky, and I was like, oh, I remember cringing at that before. She squeezed my shoulders, and then added, or, are you chicken? I think that's a throwback to the last episode I did, Chicken Chicken. I wriggled out from under her hands. Okay, okay, I groaned. I'll prove just how dumb you are. I reached for the handwritten pages of the story, and I found the next sentence. Then, I raised my hands to the old typewriter keyboard and typed it in. They heard a knock on the door. Clickety-clickety. I'm sure it was clicking and making some sort of weird bell sound and some smacking. It kind of just sounds like an assembly line. I lowered my hands to my lap and sat back. See? I sneered. Any more bright ideas? Then, I heard a knock on the door. I gasped. Alex let out a startled cry. That didn't happen, I stammered. I didn't hear that. I just imagined it. But we both heard it, Alex replied, her eyes wide. We both couldn't imagine it, could we? But it's impossible, I insisted. I picked up a candle. Then I jumped from the desk chair and hurried across the bedroom. Where are you going? Alex demanded, chasing after me, much like the women now do on Pirates of the Caribbean, where the girl chases the dude because in the original one, the dudes were going to rape him. But, you can't do that anymore at Disneyland, so now they're just like, ooh, I want to hug a pirate. And then the pirates chase the girls that hold, like, pies. Because they're like, ooh, I want to eat some pie. Wink, pie. She's my cherry pie. Oh, sorry. Wait, what song was I just singing? Singing I Love Rock and Roll. Whatever, all that music's terrible. To answer the door, I told her. No, she gasped. I was already jogging through the dark hall. My heart pounded. The candle flame seemed to throb in rhythm with my heart. I glanced back and saw Alex running after me. Zachy Wade! I didn't stop. I ran to the front door. No, please don't open it, Alex pleaded. I have to, I told her. We have to see who's there. Zachy, don't, Alex begged, but I ignored her and pulled open the door. By the way, I should need to drink more because I feel like my commentary's off. Let's do that right now. All right, finished my tall can, made a cocktail, ready to go. Chapter 18. Alex gasped. I stared out into the rain as if I was making a sad music video in the 90s, watching the drops form together and join each other, thinking about how that's how crowds work. And I wish I was with the cool kids in high school, but I'm just too into poetry. No one there. No one. Rain pattered the front step. The big raindrops bounced like balls against your mother's chin. Bounced like balls in every direction. I pushed the door shut and brushed a cold raindrop off my forehead. Weird, Alex muttered, tugging at her blonde ponytail. She pushed her glasses up on her nose. Weird. It had to be a tree branch, I said. The wind blew a tree branch against the door. That's all. You know, the tree branch smacked it, and then wind pulled it away. Now there's no evidence. By the way, speaking of weird tree branch shit, the window right next to me has a giant hole in the screen from the fucking tree growing into my window. HOA ain't paying to fix that. Bunch of jabronis. Fuck that noise. That's why I'm trying to move. Anyway, no way, Alex insisted. Tree branches don't knock. I heard a knock on the door, and so did you. We stared at each other for a long moment. Then we stared at the door. I know, Alex declared. Behind her glasses, her eyes flashed excitedly. I know why there was no one at the door. I don't want to know, I groaned. I don't want to hear any more crazy ideas about my story coming true. Wait, everything you've written down has come true, and you've written like four lines only. It's not like you're like Nostradamus, and it's some sort of vague thing that kind of could be applied to something in the future. It's just saying like, hey, someone knocked on the fucking door. Knock, knock, knock. Jesus. So skeptic about things that directly affect you. But don't you see? She cried. There was no one at the door because you didn't write someone at the door. Ugh! Real monsters! I screamed. Alex, please, give me a break. You don't really believe that I am controlling everything that happens, do you? She twisted her face, thinking hard. No, she finally replied. Good, I exclaimed. I think the old typewriter is controlling everything, she said. Alex, go lay down. I instructed. I'm calling your parents to get you. You are sick. Definitely sick. She ignored me. By the way, which kid talks like that? No child in the world's ever been like, excuse me, you need to lay down? I guess it's some catty, like, rich gay kid, but I'm calling your parents to get you. You are sick. Definitely sick. It's just, come on, RL. Were you getting out of touch with the kids already? Now you got all this movie money? Now you don't know what you're going to do. Anyway, she ignored me. Maybe that's why the woman in the burned-out shop gave you the typewriter, she continued. Maybe she knew it had strange powers, and she couldn't wait to get rid of it. I can't wait to get rid of you, I snapped, adding nothing to the conversation. Alex, please tell me you're not serious. You're scaring me with this nutty talk. Really? But Zachy, I'm right. Everything you type, it comes true. Alex grabbed my arm and started to pull me down the hall. I pulled back. Where are you taking me? I demanded. One more test. I followed her into my room. "One more?" I asked. "One more test, and then you'll shut the fuck up about this?" She raised her right hand. "Promise." She lowered her hand. "But you'll see, Zachy. You'll see that I'm not crazy." By the way, anytime anyone ever says, "You'll see that I'm not crazy," while they drag you somewhere, they're crazy. Even if what they show you is true, crazy people always got to justify that they aren't crazy. "Whatever you type on that old typewriter comes true." I sat down at the desk and slid the candles closer to the typewriter. I stared into the flickering orange light, reading the words of the story. "Hurry up," Alex urged. "Type that someone is standing on the other side of the door." "Okay, all right," I muttered, "but this is crazy." I raised my hands to the old typewriter keys and typed. Drenched with rain, Adam stood on the front porch. I lowered my hands to my lap. I listened for a knock on the front door. But all I heard was the steady rush of the wind and the patter of rain against the house. By the way, if you're testing out to see if it was real, why wouldn't you do something cool instead of being like, "Yeah, there's fucking Adam and he's cold and wet"? Why wouldn't you be like, "Here's the world's supply of cocaine in a magical little pouch that dogs can't smell, but you can freely"? I waited, listening hard. No knock. I realized I was holding my breath. I let it out slowly, listening, listening. No knock, I told Alex. I couldn't keep a grin from spreading across my face. A triumphant grin, most triumphant. See? It didn't work. She frowned. She leaned over my shoulder and read the words again. "Of course it didn't work," she said. "You didn't write that Adam knocked. You put him on the porch, but you didn't make him knock." I sighed. "Okay, if it'll make you happy." I turned back to the typewriter and typed. Adam knocked on the front door. As I lowered my hands from the keys, I heard a loud knock on the front door. "Shut the front door!" Just kidding, that's what people say instead of fuck up. "See?" Alex cried. It was her turn to grin. "This can't be happening," I gasped. We didn't bother with the candles. We both ran full speed through the hall to the front door. Alex reached it first. She grabbed the knob and pulled open the door. "Is it really Adam?" I called. Chapter number 19. I gaped in shock as Alex pulled Adam in from the rain. He was drenched. His curly black hair was matted to his forehead. He wasn't wearing a rain slicker or jacket. His soaked t-shirt stuck to his body. I could thinly make out some minions. "Whoa!" he exclaimed, shivering. He wrapped his arms around his chubby body as if trying to keep himself warm. Water poured off him and puddled on the floor, making puddles of mud. I wish no one ever made the band Puddles of Mud, am I right? "Adam," I opened my mouth to say something, but I was too shocked to form words. It's true, Alex stammered. "It really works." "Huh?" Adam appeared dazed and possibly confused. "We'll find out." "What are you doing here?" I demanded, feeling dazed myself. His eyes wandered around the living room. "I'm not sure," he exclaimed. I know I came here for a reason, but I don't remember what it is." "Zachy made you come here," Alex declared. Adam shook his head hard, shaking himself off like a dog and getting water and shit off of him and stuff. That's what Franklin does. He narrowed his eyes at Alex. "Excuse me?" Alex studied Adam. "Did you stand on the front porch for a while before you knocked?" she demanded. Adam nodded. "Yeah, I did. I'm not sure why. I just stood there. I guess I was trying to remember why I had come over." "How did you know that?" Alex grinned at me. "See? I was right all along." Women always gotta be right. I swallowed hard. My head was spinning like The Exorcist. "Yes, you were right," I murmured. "The old typewriter. Whatever I typed on it came true." "What's going on?" Adam demanded impatiently. He shook more water onto the rug, making more bad, possibly Christian, bands. "Why are we in the dark?" "The storm knocked out the lights," I told him. "Follow me." I led the way to my room. On the way, I stopped at the linen closet and gave Adam a bath towel. He dried himself off as we walked to my room. I couldn't wait to tell him about my amazing typewriter. You're not going to believe this, I started. I took him over to the typewriter. He stared at it in the orange candlelight. When Alex... Well, that was weird emphasis on candlelight. That was like Christopher Walken style. The orange candlelight. Candle a light. Yeah, whatever. I don't do impersonations or voices. F you. Whatever, I don't care. Then Alex and I told him the whole story. When we finished, Adam burst out laughing. Very funny, he said. He shook his head. His curly hair was still soaked. Water dripped down his forehead. I know you want to pay me back, Zacky, he said. I know you want to pay me back for putting the mice in your locker. I know I embarrassed you in school. I have no recollection of that incident. Maybe it's not from this book. He put a moist hand on my shoulder. But there is no way I'm going to fall for a dumb story like that. No fucking way, Jose. Zacky will prove it to you, Alex chimed in. Adam sneered and rolled his eyes. I can hardly wait. Unlike the movie that's about to come out in a year and a half called I Can't Hardly Wait that Dune saw in the theaters because he's young at the time. Whatever. No, really, I insisted. It's not a joke, Adam. It's real. Come here, I'll show you. I pulled him up to the desk. Then I dropped into the chair and quickly typed the next lines of my scary story. The storm stopped. Maybe he had a typo. Delete, delete, go back. The storm stopped suddenly. All was quiet. Too quiet. Why did you have to add the too quiet? If you know it comes true, why are you still trying to write a scary story? Why aren't you trying to write one about, like, you know, how money just kind of came to you and you had enough money to get a sweet pool and you could swim all the time and didn't have to record Goosebumps? Adam and Alex read the words over my shoulder. I jumped up and pulled Adam to the window. Go ahead. Check it out, I urged. Chapter 20. God, that was terrible. Chapter 20. All three of us slid around my desk and pressed our faces to the window. Yes, I cried, shaking my fists above my head like some sort of low-rent Rocky. Yes! The rain had stopped. I edged between my two friends and pushed up the window. Sorry, man. Like, I thought he was going to say, like, push up to the window, but just pushed up the window. You know, he pulled it up. Sorry, my windows go side to side. I don't understand this shit. Listen, I instructed. We all listened. Not a sound outside. Not even the drip of rain from the trees. Not even a whisper of wind. Yes, Alex cried happily. She and I slapped a high five. I turned to Adam. Do you see? I cried. Do you believe us now? Do you see? Alex repeated. Adam backed away from the window. See what? He demanded. Do I see that the rain has stopped? Yeah, I see it. But, I pointed to the typewriter, like Dune is gesturing kind of towards the sliding glass window. I do a lot of hand motions when I record these, but you can't see them, but they're fantastic and add tons to the story. Adam laughed. Have you both lost it? He cried. Do you really think that you stopped the rain? Are you two totally messed up? You guys janking? Is Jankum coming back with the kids? It should. It's true, I insisted. Adam, I just proved it to you. He laughed and rolled his eyes. I wanted to punch his laughing face. I really did. Well, maybe you should work on your aggression issues. Here was the most amazing thing that has ever happened to anyone in the history of the world, and he thought it was a big joke. I grabbed his arm. Here, I said breathlessly. I'll prove it again. Watch. I dragged him to the typewriter. I didn't bother to sit down. I leaned over the desk and started to type something. But before I had typed two words, Alex tugged me away. What are you doing, asshole? I cried. I struggled to break away. But she pulled me out to the hall. He's not going to believe us, Zacky, she whispered. You can prove it to him 12 times, and he won't believe it. Of course he will, I insisted. He'll... No way, Alex interrupted. Go ahead. Type Adam has two heads. If you do it, both of his heads won't believe you. Oh, is Alex... Oh, Adam... Sorry. Let me go back to that sentence. Ignore everything I just said. I could delete it, but it's easier for you to mentally do so than me to click a button a couple times. No way, Alex interrupted. Go ahead. Type, Adam has two heads. If you do it, both of his heads won't believe you. I had to think about that one. One more try, I said. Let me type one more sentence. One more try. When Adam sees it come true, maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll see it isn't a joke. Alex shrugged. Go ahead. But he has his mind made up, Zacky. He thinks you're trying to pay him back for the mice in your locker.
One more try, I insisted.
I glanced into the room. No, Adam, stop, I shrieked. He had his back turned to us, but I could see that he was leaning over the typewriter. He was typing something onto the page. It says that in italics, like we wouldn't understand that he's clearly bent over typing something.
Adam, stop! Alex and I both wailed. We dove into the room.
Note that I'm so smart I realized that the word dove is not dove, you know? It's not like they dove into the room, like they flew in and were just like white pigeons. They dove into it. Just pointing that out.
He spun around, a wide grin on his face. I've gotta go, he exclaimed.
He swept past us and out into the hall. So long, suckers, he called. He disappeared down the hall. Man, fuck this guy.
I hurtled to the desk, my heart pounding. I stared down at the typewriter. What did Adam type?
That's like this generation's What Would Jesus Do? Bet we're about to find out, huh?
All right. Chapter 21.
I heard the front door slam. Adam had run out of the house. I didn't care about Adam now. I only cared about one thing. Ladies. What did he type on that old typewriter? I grabbed the sheet of paper and pulled it from the roller. Then I held it close to the candle flame to read it.
Careful, you'll set it on fire, Alex warned.
I moved it back from the flame. Hi, sweetheart. What are you doing, baby? Scarlet's rubbing against my leg while I record.
Orange light flickered over the page. My hand was trembling so hard, I struggled to read that bitch.
Well, what did he type? Alex asked impatiently.
He, I sputtered.
God damn, so much sputtering, R.L. Stein.
She grabbed the paper from my hand and read Adam's sentence out loud.
The blob monster hid in Zacky's basement, waiting for fresh meat.
What a jerk, I cried. I don't believe him. Why did he type that on my story?
Why aren't they immediately typing, but then it disappeared suddenly and no one was harmed? That's what I would type. Also, it's weird that everyone seems to be typing in all caps, as if they're riffraff.
Alex stared unhappily at the page. He thought it was funny. Ha, ha, I said weakly. I grabbed the page back from her. He ruined my story. Now I have to start it all over again.
Forget your fucking story. What about the blob monster? Alex cried. Maybe there's an allegory for one of them having a morbidly obese parent.
We'll find out. Huh? A chill tightened the back of my neck. The sheet of paper slipped from my hand.
Everything typed on the old typewriter comes true, Alex murmured. I was so upset about Adam ruining my story that I'd forgotten.
You mean, I started. My mouth suddenly felt very dry.
There is a blob monster waiting in the basement. Sorry,
the basement.
I like how Stay Out of the Basement was like the second Goosebumps. I think it was. And I still have continued on the tradition of the basement after 100+ episodes.
Alex said in a low whisper, waiting for fresh meat. Fresh meat, I replied. I gulped.
Alex and I froze for a moment, staring at each other in the darting candlelight.
But there's no such thing as a blob monster, I said finally, having never heard of Rosie O'Donnell.
Burn! That's a topical reference. I made it up. So, how can a blob monster be hiding in my basement?
Alex's eyes flashed behind her glasses. You're right, she cried. They don't exist, so no problem, she smiled.
But
Her smile faded when we heard a noise, a heavy thud, thud. I gasped. What was that? Why do you have to say that? Clearly it's a blob monster. We both turned to the door and heard the sound again. Thud, thud. By the way, speaking of blob monsters, I just took the picture that I'm going to use for this one because I don't feel like editing things in Photoshop. It's a lot of effort. By a lot of effort, I mean like 10 minutes, but still I don't want to do it. So I just took a picture of the actual book in the arms of my fat, blobby, hairless cat. And that's what I'm using. He's cute. I love him. He was asleep. I woke him up for that. Heavy and slow, like footsteps. Is it coming from the ba-ba-ba? I was so scared. I was stuttering. Alex nodded. The basement, she whispered, finishing the word for me. I picked up a candlestick, like Jack, who was slick and nimble. The light bounced over the wall and floor. I couldn't stop my hand from shaking. Every time this comes up, I make the same hack joke about needing to drink in the morning. Holding it in front of me, I made my way into the hall. Alex huddled close, keeping with me, step for step, step for step, day for day for day. It doesn't work with the day part, whatever. Thud, thud. We both stopped. The sounds were closer, louder, more thuddier and shit. Taking a deep breath, I stepped up to the basement door. Alex hung back, her hands pressed to her face. Behind her glasses, her eyes were wide with fear. Thud. Thud. It's coming up the stairs, I cried. Run! Too late. I heard another thud, and the door crashed open. The 22nd chapter of the Blob. Everyone. A beam of white light made me shut my eyes. My hand shot up to shield myself. Behind the beam of light, a large dyke figure? Jesus Christ. Someone's gonna be offended. I don't even know how I fucked that up. A large, dark figure lumbered heavily through the door. Dad? I gasped. My dad lowered the flashlight to the floor. Dad, what are you doing down there? I demanded in a high, shrill voice. Are you two okay? Dad asked, narrowing his eyes at us. Why do you look so frightened? Well, I didn't know how to explain that I had just called him a dyke. I couldn't tell him we thought he was a blob monster. No one wants to hear that. Dad pointed to the basement with his flashlight. I've been down there checking the circuit breakers, he explained. I can't figure out why the lights haven't come back on. He scratched his head as Dune got text after text. We were looking for you, Alex said. We shouted down to the basement for you. I went across the street to check on your mother. Then I went into the back room of the basement, Dad replied. I guess I couldn't hear you. He shook his head. What a strange storm. It came up so suddenly, and then it just stopped. As if someone turned it on, then turned it off. You know, like if they're like, hey, look at my boobs, now you're under arrest. You'd be like, fuck. Alex and I glanced at each other. Yes, it is weird, Alex agreed. I took a deep breath, as if I were vaping with God. Huh? Dad? I started. He beamed the light at my feet. Yes, Zachy? Dad, when you were down in the basement, was anything else down there with you? His heavy eyebrows rose up on his forehead. He stared hard at me. Excuse me? Did you see anything strange down there, or did you hear anything strange? He shook his head. No, nothing. His eyes locked on mine. Are you afraid, Zachy? I know you have problems with being in the dark like this. Would you like to hang out with me for a while? We'll watch Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, and then the remake of Evil Dead, then you'll forget about all your troubles in the basement. How about that, son? No, I'm fine. Really, I insisted. I just wondered. What do boobs feel like? Like a bag of sand? I'll ask you later, Dad. Dad stepped past us and started toward the kitchen. I was going to call the electric company, he said. They should have fixed the lines by now. I watched him make his way down the hall. The white beam of light bounced in front of him. I held my candle up to the basement door. I guess the typewriter didn't work this time, I told Alex happily. No blob monster.
Let's go downstairs and check it out, she replied.
Huh? I backed away from the open doorway. Are you brazy? Oh, I forgot to mention that the main character guy's a blood in this one. So he's just been kind of bicking back, being bull, playing on his typewriter. Anyway, we have to know if the old typewriter has powers or not, Alex said. We have no choice, Zacky. We have to check out the basement. But, she pushed past me onto the basement stairway. She walked down the first two steps. Then, she turned back to me. Are you coming with me or not? Dude, you're at that important age where if a girl offers to take you into the basement to do a little exploring, you just do it. It'll be good times. That's what old Dune suggests. Ah, life. Chapter 23. Did I have a choice? No. But you can. Vote pro-choice, idiots. God, I'm getting political on this one. Hey, abortions, fucking do it if there's a kid that's not going to be loved. Fucking drugs, hell yeah. I'll take whatever you're taking. Oh, God. No, I need to focus. I was about to redo this take. I'm going to just keep going. Did I have a choice? No. For one thing, I had the candle. I couldn't let Alex go down there by herself in total darkness. But I held back, my heart pounding. Wait, I thought the dad was down there fixing the circuit breaker. Don't you just have to flip a switch? Or is there actual fuses? I don't understand anything. I live in a condo. But I held back, my heart pounding, my mouth dry as cotton. There's vomit on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. Dad said he didn't hear anything, I said. So there's no reason for us to go. That's lame and you know it, Alex replied. She took another step down. Am I going down alone? She wants to 69, bro. I forced my rubbery legs to move like Gumby. No, wait up. I'm coming, I said. I lowered my foot to the first stair. Probably first step, right? Is it? Yeah, whatever. But we'll only stay down for a second, right? Just long enough to see if there's a blob monster hiding down there, Alex replied. Waiting for fresh meat, I added silently. I stumbled on to the next step, but caught myself on the railing. The candle flame dipped low, but didn't blow out. The basement spread in front of us like a black pit. We both stopped at the bottom of the steps and listened. Silence. I raised the candle high. Tall stacks of cartons came into view, possibly all Newport menthol lights. Behind them, I could see the two wooden wardrobe closets where Mom and Dad store our winter clothes and our portals to Narnia. The blob monster could be hiding behind those tall cartons, Alex whispered, or those closets. I swallowed hard. Alex, give me a break, I whispered back. We made our way slowly to the stacks of cartons. I raised the candle high, as if I was at some sort of vigil for some sort of, you know, gay youth who had something horrible happen to him, and then we have to march down the streets. You know, one of those things. We peeked behind the first stack. Nothing hiding there. Can we go now? I pleaded. Alex rolled her eyes. Don't you want to know the truth? Don't you want to know if your typewriter really has powers or not? No, not really, I whispered like a little bitch. She ignored me. She grabbed the candle from my hand and moved behind the stack of cartons. Hey, give that back, I cried. You're too slow, she snapped. Keep close behind me. You'll be okay. I'm not okay, I insisted, like Dune's favorite band that he's always ashamed to admit. I want to go back upstairs. Alex moved quickly between the stacks of cartons. I had to hurry to keep up. I never liked the basement. In fact, I was afraid of the basement, even in daytime. He must be much more of an attic person. I had an attic, but no basement. because I didn't grow up in a place with basements, because there's no tornadoes. It's just, you know, fucking earthquakes and shit. What are you going to do in an earthquake in a basement? Just get trapped in and become cave people like The Descent? That's stupid. Don't do that. That's for idiots. I knew there wasn't anything to be afraid of, but sometimes telling yourself that doesn't do any good at all. "Alex," I whispered, "can we?" I stopped when I heard the sound. A soft fapping. Just kidding, it's slapping. From somewhere against the wall. Slap. 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 As if Vince was turning half of a potato into 16 little chunks with his beautiful slap-chop device, steady as a heartbeat. Alex had moved away from me. I saw her walking quickly toward the laundry room. I don't know where the laundry room is, so it's hard to piece together where that is in the story. "Alex!" I hurtled across the room to her. So fast, I bumped into her. "Hey, watch it!" she exclaimed. "Alex, it's down here," I shrieked. "It's here! It's really here! Listen, do you hear it?" Slap, slap, slap. Chapter 24. We both froze. The steady, rhythmic sound rose up from the far wall. Slap, slap, sliggity slap, 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 slappity slap. "Do you hear it?" I whispered. Alex nodded. Her mouth had dropped open in shock, probably like the blob on the cover of this book. She gripped the candlestick in both hands. Slap, slap. "What are we going to do?" I whispered. "It's waiting for fresh meat," Alex murmured. I know, I groaned. "You don't have to say it." I pulled her arm. "Come on, we have to tell Dad." I gazed through the darkness to the stairway. The steps seemed a million miles away.
"Well then, how can you see them, idiot?" Or I guess you can't, because the... No, what? Whatever, the point is, the steps, they're probably like 2 feet away. Fuck you.
"We'll never make it," I choked out. "We have to run past the blob monster to reach the stairs." Slap. Slap. "What's our choice?" Alex shot back. "Pick one, Zacky. Choice one, we stay here. Choice two, we don't stay here."
Huh. I need to start doing more Give Yourself Goosebumps. I really think that I will finish those because they're actually fun to do. I don't know whether I should do them online with people choosing. The problem is when I do it online, there's like four people there. And then I'm like, "Hey, everyone come out to this big event." And there's four people. And I'm like, "Ah, everyone hates me. Why do I record these?" And then the other ones are in person. But I don't know if that works as well, too. Maybe I'll just read them to the fiance while she's like, "Dear God, can we please go to bed?"
She was right, of course. We had to make a run for it. Maybe if we ran fast enough, we'd take it by surprise. Maybe the blob monster, Bob Marley, was too big to run fast. Slap. Slap, slap. "Let's go," Alex urged. "I'll go first since I have the light."
Can we run side by side?" I asked softly.
She nodded. Without another word, we took the fuck off.
Chapter 25. Franklin, stop doing that, please. Franklin.
Thank you. Our shoes thudded over the concrete basement floor. I struggled to keep at Alex's side. My legs felt so heavy, as if I were running uphill.
Oh, I thought they're at the stairs already. I was like, stairs are like uphill.
Whoa! I cried out when the lights flashed on. Startled, we both stopped running. I blinked hard, waiting for my eyes to adjust to the bright ceiling light. Slap. Slap. We both turned to the far wall to see the blob monster Bob Marley. I stared at the pale white hands slapping against the wall beneath the open basement window. A hand? Slap. Slap. It's a rubber glove, Alex exclaimed. That's not scary at all, unless it's made into a fifi and then used.
Franklin, what are you doing, Poppy? You want to come see me? Franklin, come here. Come here.
All right, I'll take you out in a minute. It's one of Dad's gardening gloves, I choked out. Dad usually leaves his heavy gardening gloves on that window ledge. One of the gloves was hanging from a nail, and the wind kept slapping it against the wall. Hence the onomatopoeia of slap, slap, slap. Alex laughed at first. Then I joined in. It felt good to laugh. And it felt especially good to know that no blob monster, even one named Bob Marley, was hiding in the basement. What a relief! Alex and I climbed happily up the stairs. Then she made her way to the front door. Thanks for the awesome entertainment, she teased. It was better than a movie. See you tomorrow. She started out the door, then turned back. We definitely got a little crazy tonight, Zachy. I mean, about that old typewriter, not the hand stuff. I was into that. Yeah, I guess, I admitted. It doesn't have any special powers. It didn't make a blob monster appear in the basement. Just, you know, apply those as a filter to when I said the basement earlier. You'll be able to edit it in. It'll work fine. And all the lights came back on without me having to type that they came on. The typewriter didn't cause anything to happen tonight. It was all a coincidence, Alex said. Ooh, big word. What the fuck? That again? I teased. She slammed the door behind her. By the way, this is one of those books where it's like, I think it's number 55 out of 62 Goosebumps, where you're like, oh, R.L. Stein was like, what should I write about? All right, let's sit down. Got my coffee here. Okay, typewriter, yeah. Ooh, all right, there we go. This is the story. All right, I'll phone this one in. Anyway, there's a drinking break here, which I always appreciate. Still drinking the rum and Dr. Pepper, but I might need to get another one after I walk cute little Franklin. Are you doing anything, Zachy? Mom axed. Not really. It was Saturday afternoon, and I was just hanging out. I had a ton of homework to do, so I was lying on the couch, staring up at the ceiling, thinking of excuses not to do it. You and your procrastinating, you're gonna end up like Dune, you know? Not much money. Can you run to the store for me? Mom asked. The Enderbys are coming by for dinner, and I need a few things. She held up a slip of paper. It's a short list. Says here you need some more of those Newport menthol lights. You need... They don't sell this liquor anymore, Mom. It's 190 proof. You're gonna die. And, okay, you need a chore boy? What is that? Is that the steel wool? Okay. Alright, I guess. And then, you need a love rose to put the chore boy? I don't understand. What do you need, Mother? What kind of party are you having? Oh, well, anyway. No problemo, I said, climbing up from the porch. Maybe I can add a few items to the list, I thought, taking it from her hand. Like, maybe a few candy bars. Or a box of Pop-Tarts. I love to eat Pop-Tarts raw. Ooh, baby, I like Pop-Tarts raw. Ooh, baby, I like them raw. Ride your bike, okay? Mom asked. I'm kind of in a hurry. Come straight back, okay? No problem, I repeated. I tucked the list into the back pocket of my jeans and headed to the garage to get my bike. Hey, I put my shopping list in the back pocket of my jeans, or I type it in Google Keep, and I make a list that I make check marks when I'm done getting each thing. Because that's how efficient I am, because I do most of the shopping. Anyway, the afternoon sun poured down, like the Raisin Bran sun poured raisins, but it was probably just, you know, pouring down sunlight. The air felt hot and dry, more like summer than spring. I jumped onto my bike and pedaled down the driveway standing up. I turned toward town and sat down towards the ground. It's something I found is a place I can sit sound. Wow. Pedaling fast, riding, no hands. A few minutes later, I leaned my bike against the brick wall of Jack's. Jack's is mainly a meat market, but they sell fruits. Is it really called Jack's, and it's a meat market, and they're full of fruits? Come on. I forget the name of his town, obviously, but it's the blah 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 Jack's. It's an organization they have in many a city, where dudes come together to not do mouth stuff, not do butt stuff, but just Jack. They also sell fruits and vegetables and other groceries, too. The bell over the glass door clanged as I stepped inside. Mrs. Jack was at her usual spot, jacking it, leaning her elbows on the counter beside the cash register. Mrs. Jack is a big, platinum-haired woman with about a dozen chins. She wears bright red lipstick and long, dangling earrings that clingle-clangle every time she jacks. She is really nice to everyone, except kids. She doesn't like kids because it's illegal to jack 'em. She hates kids. I guess she thinks we only come in to her store to steal. When a kid comes in, she follows him up and down the aisles and never takes her eyes off him. What is he, black? I closed the door behind me and reached into my back pocket for my shopping list. Mrs. Jack had the newspaper spread out in front of her on the counter. She raised her eyes slowly and made a disgusted face. Help you? She muttered. I waved the list. Just buying a few things for my mom. She grabbed the list out of my hand and squinted at it. Then she handed it back with a grunt. Tuna is in the back on the bottom, she said. What a bitch, telling me where tuna is. Thanks. I picked up a shopping basket and hurried to the back of the store. A big air conditioner rattled against the wall. A fan in front of it blew cold air down the narrow aisle. I'm a fan of air conditioning. Just kidding. I found... Right, no, I am. I'm just saying that it meant a fan was blowing the air, not just me blowing this reading of Goosebumps. I found the tuna quickly and dropped two cans into my basket. A long white display counter of the meat department stretched in front of me. Behind the glass, cuts of red meat were lined up in perfect rows. Beside the counter, an enormous side of beef hung from the ceiling. That is really gross, I thought. It looked like an entire cow, stripped of its hide, hanging upside down. Yuck. I started to turn away from it, when the dead cow moved. It swung to the side, then swung back. I stared in surprise. The cow swung further, to the right, then the back. It was such a swinger that it put its keys in a jar instinctively. I watched it swinging on its rope, swinging heavily from side to side, and then I heard a harsh, whispered voice. Fresh meat! Fresh meat! Franklin went back to sleep in his bed, so I think I'm just going to continue reading this instead of going to walk him right now, because I got enough of a drink to do one more chapter. Chapter 26. In case anyone actually cared, which I'm sure you didn't, I did take Franklin out. he asked me, and it was a long one. Sorry, he axed me. Anyway, oh! A low moan escaped my throat as I gaped at the side of beef, swinging so slowly, back and forth, back and forth. Fresh meat. Came the raspy whisper again. Fresh meat, no! I blurted out. I dropped my shopping basket and started to step back. I let out another cry as Adam stood up and stepped out from behind the meat counter. He had a gleeful grin on his stupid fucking idiot jabroni face. Fresh meat, he whispered and burst out laughing. Annie and Emmy climbed out from behind the counter, giggling and shaking their heads. I have no idea who they are. Awesome, Annie exclaimed. Zach, you're bright red, her sister laughed. My face burned as hot as the sun. I felt so embarrassed. How could I fall for such a dumb joke? I feel like that line has been in Goosebumps before of, I felt so embarrassed, how could I fall for such a dumb joke? Anyway, now I knew they would tell everyone in school that I freaked out over a side of beef. What are you doing here? I shrieked. We saw your bike, Adam replied. We followed you into the store. Didn't you see us? We were right behind you. I let out a furious cry and balled my hands into fists. What's going on back there? Mrs. Jack's harsh voice rattled the shelves. What are you kids doing? You better not be jacking. There aren't kids allowed jacking in here. Not since the incident. Nothing, I called. I found the tuna. I winked at the girls. I turned back to Adam and the twins. Give me a break, I muttered. For some reason, that struck them funny. They giggled and slapped one another high fives. Then Adam stuck out both arms. He held them stiffly in front of him, like a sleepwalker, or a mummy, or one of those people that gets in one of those accidents where they have to be in a full body cast, and someone has to wipe when they poo-poo in the bed. I began marching stiff leg and began marching. He was doing the mummy walk. He looks like a fucking mummy, but he's, you know, he's not wrapped in toilet paper. "You're controlling me, Zacky," he declared in a machine-like voice. "I'm in your power." He staggered toward me like some kind of zombie or Dune once he finishes this cocktail. "Your typewriter controls me, Zacky. Your typewriter has the power. I am your slave."
"Adam, you're not funny," I cried.
The girls giggled. They closed their eyes, stuck out their arms, and started marching toward me too, because they were really original and could come up with their own ideas independently.
"We're in your power," Emmy chanted.
"You're controlling our every move," Annie said.
"This isn't funny," I shouted furiously. "Get lost, you guys, you!"
I turned and saw Mrs. Jack bouncing toward us, using her face as red... Not using... I'm going to take some of this cocktail. Take the edge off. By the way, where's this blob that eats everyone? Hopefully we'll find out.
Mrs. Jack bouncing toward us, her face as red as her lipstick.
"What are you doing back here?" she bellowed. "This isn't a clubhouse. You know, people aren't playing golf here. They're not ignoring their wives by getting blackout drunk and then driving home pretending it's a golf cart and hitting swans. Swans or something on golf courses, right?"
Adam and the girls instantly lowered their sleepwalker arms. Annie and Emmy backed up against the meat counter.
"Are you buying anything?" Mrs. Jack demanded, huffing and puffing from her long journey from the cash register.
"Jesus, R.L. Stein, you are a judgmental old man."
"If you're not buying anything, get the fuck out. Go to the playground. We're going," Adam murmured.
He couldn't get past Mrs. Jack. She filled the aisle, so he scooted down the next aisle.
"So judgmental, R.L. Stein. All this lady wants to do is, you know, have a few Doritos every now and then, some Fritos, some Cheetos, and then, you know, make a business where dudes can jack it."
"No problem. I remembered what was on it."
"Sorry. Down the aisle. Annie and Emmy hurried after him. Mrs. Jack glared at me. I'm almost finished," I stammered. "I picked up the basket. I searched for my list, but couldn't find it. No problem. I remembered what was on it." I bet he's not going to remember something and his mom's going to be mad. I found the other items and dropped them into the basket. Mrs. Jack stayed with me the whole time. Then she walked me to the front of the store. I paid and hurried out. I was so angry at Adam and the girls, I forgot all about the candy bars. They were always making fun of me. I griped to myself. Always playing mean tricks. Always trying to make me look like a total jerk. I'm not a total jerk. Why do you guys always make me feel like that? Always, always. I'm sick of it. I'm sick to death. Sick, sick, sick. I chanted the word all the way home like a rational human being. I hopped up off my bike and turned my swag on, and then let it crash to the driveway. Then I ran inside and tossed the grocery bag onto the kitchen counter. Sick, sick, sick. I'm going to totally lose my shit if I don't cool down, I decided. I ran up to my room and shoved a fresh sheet of paper into the old typewriter. Then I plopped into the desk chair and furiously started typing. A third blob monster story. The scariest one of all.
Oh, so there's blob monster introduced previously, but some of us read this too blacked out to figure out what was going on, but it turns out that that's why the Adam kid who's a total jabroni started typing about a blob monster. It makes sense now.
I typed as fast as I could.
I didn't think about it. I let my anger do the thinking. like most sane people do. I'm sorry, Judge, I let my anger do the thinking, and now my old woman can't see out of her left eye.
I didn't write it out first. I didn't plan it. I didn't know what was going to happen next. I was just improvising. I leaned over the old typewriter and typed. In the story, the Ugly Bob Monster attacks the whole town, something, Brady Bunch. People are screaming, running in every direction, except for probably like up and down. Because people can only run, you know, like a 2D surface based on the fact that we have to obey the laws of physics. Running for their lives. Two police officers step forward to fight the blob monster off. It opens its huge mouth and swallows them whole. Well, you know, shouldn't have Ferguson people to begin with. Shrieks of terror filled the town. Shrieks of terror left the town. The enormous blob monster named Bob Marley is eating everyone alive. Yes, I cried out loud. Yes, as if I was in a shampoo commercial or just straightforward orgasming. I was paying everyone back, paying the whole town back. You couldn't do that after Columbine, but this book came out before. Yes, it was the most exciting, most terrifying story I ever wrote. I wrote page after page. Zacky, you forgot something, a voice called. I started to type those words into the story. Then I recognized my mom's voice. Breathing hard, I spun away from the typewriter. I found my mom leaning in the doorway, shaking her head fretfully. You have to go back to the store, she said. You forgot the loaf of Italian bread. We need the bread for a dinner tonight. We are Italian. We only eat carbs. We are fat and hate our wives. Oh, sorry, I replied. I glanced back at my story and sighed. It was going so well. I was having such a good time. I'll get back to it after I go to the store, I decided. I took more money from Mom. Then I picked up my bike from the driveway. I thought about my blob monster, Bob Marley. Story as I pedaled to town. It's the best story I ever wrote, I decided. Dune is getting texts. I can't wait to read it to Alex. I heard the thud of footsteps on the sidewalk. A man in a business suit came running by. It's funny, because I'm normally in a running suit doing business. A dark blur. He ran so fast I couldn't see his face. What's his problem? I wondered. He's too dressed up to be jogging. Whoa! I had to swerve to the curb as a blue station wagon roared toward me. The woman at the wheel honked her horn and waved frantically at me. Her tires squealed as she shot around the corner. I am really good at reading Goosebumps. Everyone is in such a hurry today, I muttered to myself. Then I heard a scream. A man's scream. Ah! That's how men scream, apparently. I pedaled faster. I was a block from town. I could see the awning over the doorway of Jack's Grocery on the corner. I saw two people running past the store. Running at top speed. Not, you know, African top speed, but small town America top speed. Waving their hands. You know, as if Cracker Barrel was closing in only 10 minutes. I screeched to a halt when I heard another scream. Look out! Someone shrieked. Run! Call the police! Two little kids ran past me. One of them was sobbing and probably did a pee-pee in his pantaloons. Hey, what's going on? I called to them, but they kept running. They didn't answer. Rude. I started pedaling again. Standing up, I leaned over my handlebars, trying to see what all the fuss was about. As I reached town, I saw people running down the center of the street. Cars honked. People were screaming. Ladies were giving birth on the side of the road. What the fuck is going on? I called. Is there a fire or something? Hey, somebody tell me what's happening. Somebody! And then I saw what was happening. And I opened my mouth in a shrill scream of horror and fell off my bike. I like to imagine him just kind of sitting on his bike, not moving, and him going, holy fuck, it's most likely the blob that ate everyone. And then just slowly tilting over on the bike and falling over with no effort put into saving himself from falling.
Anyway, we'll see what happens in chapter 27.
Chapter 27. Ow! I landed hard on my right side, destroying my liver. The end. The bike slammed on top of me, destroying my kidney. Double the end. The handlebar jabbed me in the neck, crushing my windpipe. Triple the end. A man ran past. Get away, kid! He shouted. Hurry! Get away! I shoved the bike off me and climbed to my feet, my heart pounding my chest. I brushed myself off and gaped at the enormous pink blob monster throbbing on the next corner.
By the way, like I said, I took a picture of my little tubby hairless cat to be the blob monster because I don't want to Photoshop stuff. And as soon as it was describing the blob monster coming into view, he walked downstairs and now he's looking at me. Hi, Papa. I love you, Dodie. Dodie! Who's my little blob monster?
Anyway, oh! A horrified moan escaped my throat. It looks, as I described my story, I realized, like a huge, slimy human heart, pink and wet, with tiny black eyes and purple veins knotted on top of its head like his ding-dong, and a mouth cut into its belly. Oh, it's circumcised. Throbbing, throbbing. It's my monster, I cried. Two little girls frowned at me as their mother tugged them away. I recognized her, Mrs. Willow, who lives across the street. Zachy, run, she cried, pulling each girl by a hand. It's a horrible monster.
I know, I murmured.
She pulled her daughters across the street, but I didn't follow them. I took a deep breath and made my way slowly down the street toward the throbbing blob monster, which Dune has named Bob Marley. I wrote this, I realized, just before I came to town. I typed this scene. I wrote that the blob monster attacked the town, and I'll bet I know what happens next.
What, he's going to eat cops? You're just going to let that happen because you're some sort of like gutter punk and you're fine with that? All right, you know, their blood is on your hands.
As I stepped closer, I saw the trail of thick slime the monster left behind it. Its belly pulled open, and I saw its purple tongue darting from side to side as if it just had a grape otter pop.
Sorry, it took me a second to get otter pops.
My legs trembled as I stepped even closer. People screamed and ran. Cars and vans roared past, horns honking.
Oh no, there's a monster! Honk, honk, honk. That's not going to accomplish anything.
Everyone was running, desperate to escape. But I couldn't leave. I couldn't take my eyes off him. I made you, I thought, horrified and curious and amazed all at the same time, like Ted Bundy's mother must have felt. I created you. I wrote this story. The blob monster stared back at me through its tiny black eyes. Did it know who I was? Did it know that I created it? As I stared in amazement, its mouth opened wider. It made sick, sucking sounds, and the purple tongue scraped the sides of its mouth, presumably looking for leftover otter pop remnants. Thick, yellow drool poured out of its open mouth, which is probably a sign of an infection, and the blob monster bounced forward. Its purple tongue leaped out at me. Hey! I cried. I struggled to back away. The hot, sticky tongue wrapped around my leg, started to pull me toward the slimy open mouth. Let go! I tugged on the tongue as hard as I could. Help me! Two dark uniformed police officers leaped in front of me. They had their nightsticks raised as if that would do anything to the monster. With angry cries, they both began pounding the throbbing creature. Pound, pound, pound.
That's really the sound you put in there, Arlstein? That is unnecessary.
The nightsticks made a soft plopping sound with each hit. The blob monster uttered a sickened gurgle, and its tongue slid off my leg. Run! One of the officers screamed. Get going! Scoot! Go kick rocks! You know, beat it! My legs were shaking so hard, I nearly fell. I could still feel the slimy, hot tongue on my leg. I stumbled back and gaped in horror as the blob monster pulled open its mouth. The fat purple tongue swung around both police officers. They beat it with their sticks. They shoved it. They tried to wrestle it. But the tongue tightened around them and pulled them into the huge open mouth in the creature's belly. Pulled them both inside, like the Ocarina of Time. Is it Ocarina of Time? It's definitely not Tine, as I just said. But where you're inside the fish. Oh, did you hear that crackling sound or the thing? My fucking earring fell out of my ear, my plug or whatever. Gross. I'll get it after this. And then the mouth slammed shut with a disgusting splat. No, no, I wailed. I wanted to pound my fists against the monster, pound it until it melted to the ground. It's all my fault, I screamed. I wrote that scene with the policeman. It was all in the story I had just typed. I wrote that the blob monster ate them both and then ripped out Dune's earring. And now, it had come true. My frightening story had come true, every scene of it. The blob monster uttered disgusting gulping sounds as it digested its human meal, its tiny black eyes locked on mine as it gulped. What happens next? What happens next in my story? I asked myself, trembling all over, my heart pounding. I struggled to think. What does happen next? And then, with a shudder, I remembered what I had written. The blob monster follows me home. Why would you write that, even if you had the slightest inkling that everything you wrote came true? But I keep making this point and no one listens to me. So I'll just keep going on. Alright, this story just got personal. My own blob that eats everything is on my lap right now, purring and demanding attention. Hi, Yodi. Say hi. No. Okay. Oh, now you don't like being leaned towards the mic? Alright. Well, then don't perform. Chapter 28. The blob made a final gulp. Then it opened its mouth in a disgusting, gassy burp. Sickened by the sour odor, I staggered back. I've got to think of something. I told myself, I've got to stop this monster, or it will eat me next. Dodie, you gonna eat me? The blob monster began to slide forward, plopping wetly on the sidewalk as it moved. I knew I couldn't stand there another second. I spun away and forced my rubbery legs to run. Why is this fool's legs always all rubbery and shit? Did they mention that in the first book, that he has like reary legs and he don't run so good like Forrest Gump? In the first part of the movie, not the last part where he runs like a motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. I picked up my bike off the street and jumped on. I pedaled like I had never pedaled before. Sorry. It doesn't say that. I was just trying to figure out what I was going to say because I screwed up. I began pedaling before I had my balance and nearly crashed into a brick wall. I struggled frantically to turn myself around, to calm down enough to ride. Finally, I pedaled away, groaning with each thrust of my foot, much like Mrs. Jack would do because she was fat and Arlstein pointed that out like 14 times. I sped out of town. Halfway down the next block, I glanced back. Just as I had written, the blob monster, Bob Marley, was following me, bouncing rapidly over the pavement. The purple veins on top of its head bounced with it. Behind it, a trail of slime thickened on the street. It's so fast, I realized. It's keeping up with me. What happens next? What did I type next? Oh no, I shrieked when I remembered. This is the part where I fall off my bike. My front tire hit a rock, and I went flying over the handlebars, like Superman for a fraction of a second, and then like some asshole that's about to break his face for the rest of the seconds. Once again, I hit the pavement hard. And once doubly again, I shoved my bike off me and jumped to my feet. I turned to see the blob monster catching up, popping quickly down the street, mouth gaping open. Sorry, I was checking a text while reading, which is very difficult. My fiance said she needs to charge her phone for a second, but will call me as she's in Denver now and I'm still home in San Diego. I turn to see the blob monster catching up, plopping quickly up the street, its mouth gaping open, its tongue stretching, reaching out for me. I spun away and ran into Alex and Adam. "Run! Don't just stand there!" I screeched. "It's catching up! Zachy, are you okay?" Alex asked. "No time for questions," I gasped, shoving them both. "Run! The blob monster is real! I wrote it, and now it's doing everything I wrote!"
I hope you wrote me having a sip of this sweet, sweet cocktail.
Because that just came true. Adam laughed. He turned to the blob monster. "Do you think I'm stupid, Zachy? This is a joke, right? What is that? Some kind of balloon that's eating cops? Is that what? Is that one of those, you know, weather balloons and swamp gas that eat cops? Is it one of those?"
"Adam, don't!" I cried. I grabbed for him and missed. He went running up to the blob monster.
"Yeah, some kind of big balloon," Adam repeated, grinning.
The monster's purple tongue slid quickly around Adam's waist. It pulled Adam easily into the open mouth, and then the blob monster swallowed him with a sickening gulp. Alex and I both screamed.
"Ah!
Ah!"
Alex turned to me. "Did you write that?" she demanded in a trembling voice. I nodded.
"Yeah, it's in my story," I confessed.
Alex grabbed my shoulder. "Well, what happens next? Tell me, what comes next?"
I don't know," I stammered. "That's where I stopped writing." I wish I could stop reading. Seriously.
Chapter 2029. Alex and I never ran so fast in our lives. By the time we reached my house, my head was throbbing and my side was aching.
Yeah, it's because you fucking threw a bike on your kidney.
We both gasped for breath as I pushed open the front door. "Anyone home?" I shouted into the house. "Mom! Mom!" No reply. She must have gone out. I turned and glimpsed the blob monster bouncing hard over Alex's front yard.
"No time!" I cried to Alex. "No time! Hurry!"
I slipped inside the house. I slammed the door behind us and locked it. Then I lurched toward my room, holding my aching side, forcing my rubbery legs to move. I mopped the sweat off my forehead with my arm. Then I dropped into the desk chair and raised my hands over the typewriter keys.
Like the R.L. Stein's just like,
"And no one's ever done anything more important than writing."
What about... Yeah, I can't really think of anything. I guess brewing? Making a distillery? That's more important.
Alex hurried up beside me. "What are you going to do?" she asked breathlessly. "No time to explain," I choked out. I heard a thumping at the front door. Then I heard a loud crack. And I knew that a huge pink blob had broken down the door. "No time, no time," I declared. I furiously started to type. "I'm typing an ending," I told Alex. "I'm going to type that the blob monster disappears, that it never existed, that Adam and the two policemen are okay." Squish, squish. Alex and I both gasped. We heard the blob monster's slimy body, so close now, moving quickly toward us through the hall. I knew I only had a few seconds to type the ending. Squish. Right outside my bedroom door, I held my breath and pounded the keys. I pounded so hard and fast until... Pounded as hard and fast as I could until...
That would be funny if there was a squish right after that, because it would be like a masturbation joke.
"No! What's wrong?" Alex shrieked. "The keys are jammed!" We both screamed again as the blob monster bounced into the room.
They could have just solved this one by, you know, using words that didn't use those letters, you know? Like if they had a thesaurus, you know? I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm going to keep reading this, waiting for the old fiancé to call, because she's in Colorado and then heading to Massachusetts in the morning, and I like to speak to her.
Chapter 30.
The blob monster's body heaved up and down. The creature panted, its entire body bouncing. White slime puddled on the floor around it, like when your dog pukes but it doesn't have food in its stomach and that weird slimy foam comes up. Just like that. The slash of a mouth in the belly opened and closed, unlike the smash of a mouth, which is the greatest band of all time, and open and close again. The purple tongue licked the mouth as the monster's eyes narrowed on me. Alex gasped and backed against the wall. "Zacky, type the ending," she screamed breathlessly. "Make that thing disappear." "I can't," I cried. I frantically pulled at the keys. "They're jammed. I can't untangle them." "Pull up, idiot. Come on, Zacky, please," Alex pleaded. And then I saw the fat purple tongue leap, like Grimace if he leaped, and he wasn't just fat and purple. I rolled out of the blob monster's open belly. It rolled out of the blob monster's fat-ass, Grimace-looking belly like a garden hose. "No!" I opened my mouth in a terrified wail as the tongue stretched across the room, reaching for me. Reaching for me? No! The tongue wrapped around the typewriter, lifted it easily, and I grabbed... Alright, dude. Come on. We can get through this. I grabbed for it with both hands and missed. My hands slid across the tongue so hot, burning hot and sticky. The tongue pulled back. Snapped back like elastic. Snapped back like the hats that Dune doesn't like. Because he grew up in a time when it was cool to have fitted hats and he still buys them. And carried the typewriter into the monster's gaping mouth. As I stared in horror, the blob monster swallowed the typewriter with a single gulp. I leaped up from the desk chair and stepped up beside Alex. We pressed our backs against the wall and watched helplessly as the blob monster Bob Marley throbbed and heaved, digesting the typewriter. "We're doomed," Alex murmured. "The typewriter, it's gone. Now there's no way you can destroy the monster." "Wait," I cried. "I have an idea." "Wait. You have an idea, like that rad idea you had when you realized you had a magical typewriter, and then you wrote a story about a blob eating you and chasing you home?" "Yeah, it's probably a good idea, asshole. But, you know, we'll find out what it is right now." It's cutting close to when I normally go to sleep. So now I'm like, huh, fiance's gone. Maybe I can turn off all the lights, get everything ready, finish recording this, and just roll over on the couch where I am, downstairs away from the bed, and go to sleep. That's how dedicated I am to finishing this goddamn series. Chapter 31. I dove back to the desk. I searched the desktop. This point he meant the actual desktop, like where the top of the desk is of furniture, not the desktop of a computer. "What are you doing?" Alex cried. The blob monster let out a sick gurgling sound as it digested the typewriter. Its body heaved up and down in the puddle of slime it had left on the rug. "The pen," I told Alex. "The pen!" I pulled open the desk drawer and saw the old pen in front. I grabbed it and slammed the drawer shut. I held it up to show Alex. "The pen the woman gave me. Maybe it has the same powers as the typewriter. Maybe I can write an ending with pen and make the blob monster disappear. You know what they say, the penis mightier." "Hurry!" Alex warned. The blob monster had stopped its gurgling. The purple tongue came darting out again. I grabbed a sheet of paper and leaned over the desk. I pulled off the cap of the pen and lowered the point to the paper. "The." I wrote one word and felt something hot and wet slap against the side of my face. The fat purple tongue slid against me. Ew. "Ow!" I cried out and dropped the pen. Why would you drop the pen? You just put the effort into getting the pen and explaining why the pen's important. My hand shot up to my cheek, and I felt hot, sticky slime. Oh yeah, it's slime season, baby. That's a Young Thug reference. People that are old like Kevin won't get that. My stomach heaved. The tongue curled around the old pen, and I carried it to the blob monster's mouth. I feel like I did that last time, like the rock lobster blob monster thing. I had to have.
No! Alex and I shrieked together. The creature sucked the pen into its open belly and began its digesting gurgles. Now what? Alex asked in a whisper. What can we do? It's going to eat us next. I jumped to my feet. The chair toppled over. I stepped away from it, my eyes on the doorway. Make a run for it, I cried. Alex held back. We can't, she sighed. That thing, it's blocking the way. We'll never get past. She was right. The blob monster Bob Marley would stick its tongue out and pull us easily into its drooling mouth.
Makes you realize that the chameleon tongue is much more impressive than the human mouth. It does so much in this book.
Try the window, I cried desperately. I read somewhere that every time God puts a fucking blob monster in front of a door, he opens a window, you know? That's what it says knitted in my grandma's bathroom. I look at it every time I can take a shit there. Also, there's weird, like, seashells there that are, like, out of place and coated it with some sort of plastic. I don't know. My grandma's weird.
We both turned to the window. No way. It was bolted shut because of the air conditioner. What does that mean? I got air conditioning. I don't bolt things shut.
Doomed, Alex whispered. Doomed. We both turned back to the throbbing pink monster. And then I had one more idea that hopefully wasn't as shitty as my other ideas. Alex, remember when Adam typed something on my story and it didn't come true? She nodded, keeping her eyes on the gurgling blob monster.
Yes, I remember, but so what?
Well, I continued, maybe that's because it's me that has the power. Maybe the power isn't in the typewriter or the pen. Maybe I've got the power. Maybe I got the power that night in the antique shop when I was zapped by the electrical shock. Sorry, my brain was in another place while reading, because it's the same thing as every goddamn cliche shitty story of, maybe X didn't give me the power. Maybe I had the power in me all along.
Wow, maybe with that logic, maybe I should record a Goosebumps sober. You know? Maybe I had the power in me the whole time.
Nah, probably not. The drunker I get, the better they are. Alex swallowed hard. Maybe it's been me this whole time, I cried excitedly. All I have to do is think what I want to happen, and it will come true. I don't have to type it or write it. I just have to think it.
Maybe, Alex repeated. She started to say something else, but the blob suddenly bounced forward, squishing over the rug, and its tongue rolled out toward us.
Oh, Alex backed up against the wall. The fat tongue licked her arm. It left a thick smear of sticky drool on her skin.
Think fast, Zacky, Alex cried. The tongue curled and started to wrap itself around Alex.
Make it disappear, Alex pleaded. Think it away. I froze in horror as the fat tongue wrapped around Alex. It lifted her off the floor, screaming. She thrashed her arms and kicked, squirming frantically. She wrapped her hands around the sticky tongue and shoved with all her strength. But the disgusting tongue squeezed tighter, held her in its slimy grip. I shut my eyes. Think, I instructed myself. Think hard.
I think yelling at yourself to think is the same thing as being like, all right, I'm having trouble sleeping. Okay, go to sleep now. It doesn't really do anything.
That being said, think that the blob monster is gone. Gone, gone, gone. I held my breath, and I thought with all my might.
Would it work? We'll find out, don't worry.
Chapter 32. The monster is gone. That's what I thought. The monster is gone, gone, gone. I silently chanted the word, over and over. Then I opened my eyes, and the monster was gone. Alex stood in the center of the floor, a dazed expression on her face.
It worked, she choked out.
I do have the power, I realized. Maybe I have the power to read Goosebumps all the time.
Someone give me money, all your money, all the time.
I closed my eyes again and started to think. Adam is back, I thought. Adam is back. I opened my eyes, and Adam stood beside Alex. He blinked several times, then squinted at me. "What's happening?" he asked. "I have it," I cried happily. "I have the power, not the typewriter." "What are you talking about?" Adam demanded. "What power?" I shook my head. "You wouldn't understand," I told him. Alex started to laugh. Before I realized it, I was laughing too. Joyful laughter, relieved laughter. Just laughter at the general greatness of Dune Reed's Goosebumps. All three of us stood there, laughing happily ever after. Hey, that's not the last chapter, so maybe some shit's about to get weird.
Chapter 33.
Well, did you like my story? The pink blob monster neatened the pages he had just read and sat them down on his desk. He turned to his friend, a green-skinned blob monster like the ones from Futurama. Did you just write that? The green monster asked. The pink blob monster gurgled with pride. Yes. Did you enjoy it? I did, his friend replied. Thank you for reading it to me. It's very exciting, very well written. What do you call it? I call it Attack of the Humans, the blob monster replied. Did you really like it? Yeah, those humans are fucking gross, his friend replied, most likely referring to those commercials for like the Humane Society, where that singer girl's like, "Hey, you guys, look at all these sick, diseased animals. Give us your money, idiots." Do you know my favorite part? What part? When the blob monster ate Adam. That was really fun, the green creature declared. But I have just one problem with your story. The pink blob monster bobbed up and down. The veins on top of its head turned dark purple. A problem with my story? What is it? Well, his green friend replied, why did you give it such an unhappy ending? I hated it when the human shut his eyes and the blob monster disappeared. That was so sad. Do you think so? The pink blob monster asked, gazing down thoughtfully at the pages he had written. Yes, his friend replied. You should have a happy ending instead. Everyone likes a happy ending. The pink blob monster picked up his story. Okay, you know, you're right. You're kind of an asshole for, you know, judging my story. Why don't you come up with your own fucking story? But yeah, you're right. I'll change the ending. I'll have the blob monster eat them all. Great, I love it, his friend declared. Now that's a great ending. The end. I don't know how I feel about that twist. That it was all a story written by the blob monster. Seems pretty complex, especially as you see the blob monsters, and they're pretty simple. They're just like, why didn't he eat everyone, idiot? And you're like, well, look at the intricacies of these kids and their friends, the dynamic of them going downstairs. And I know I don't have arms or fingers, but I'm aware of what gardening gloves are. I don't know how I feel about that one. I don't know how I feel about any of this, but I've made that point abundantly clear lately. I'm going to edit this tomorrow, hopefully. No. I for sure will. I'm going to put up the picture I took of the cat looking like a blob monster. I'm going to check the text I just got, and I'm going to go to sleep. Yeah, you know where to hit me up and whatnot. I respond to like 99% of things, and that's it, I guess, right? All right, Dune Reed's Goosebumps is over, you know, for right now. I'm probably going to do another one in the next couple days because I have the house to myself, and I start to play video games for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, I need to get something done and be productive. You know what is? Damn it, that's not a good transition. Whatever. Stay spooky, bitches.